Since 1889, Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service has been a trusted name in the Richland Center area, providing compassionate care and support for families during difficult times. For assistance, call 608-647-4808. Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service, trusted by the community for over 135 years.
Goods to 15%, warding off the president's 30% threat if a deal wasn't reached by August 1st. The president and British Prime Minister Keir Starmer are meeting right now in Scotland. An investigation underway after a stabbing spree in Traverse City, Michigan.
New video showing bystanders confronting the alleged suspect after police say he went on a random stabbing spree outside of Michigan Walmart Saturday.
I need units inside Walmart. I've got multiple victims.
At least 11 people between the ages of 29 and 84 years old were injured, among them a Walmart employee.
The suspect will be arraigned today on terrorism and assault charges, says ABC's Mola Lange. There's a statewide manhunt underway in Arkansas after a couple was found murdered in a state park hiking trail. This is ABC News. Only a vague description of a suspect as police hunt for whoever murdered a couple on a remote hiking trail in Arkansas over the weekend.
This is Jim Ryan. With apparently no clear motive in mind, law enforcers are asking themselves,
is this an opportunity homicide?
In which the killer randomly murdered Clinton and Kristen Brink. The alternative, says ABC News contributor and former FBI agent Brad Garrett,
it's someone connected to these victims, whether it's crime, whether it's extortion, whatever it might be, but they were basically targeted for whatever reason.
The killer did not harm the couple's 9 and 7-year-old daughters, who are suddenly orphans. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Another hit for Disney at the movies. The Fantastic Four First Steps is topping the domestic box office charts in its first weekend in theaters. Walt Disney Company, parent of ABC News, said Sunday it earned an estimated $118 million from North American theaters, globally $218 million. Sherry Preston, ABC News.
Good morning, this is Pamela at Pamela's Fine Jewelry in beautiful downtown Spring Green. The summer is here, and our windows display features summer fun and great summer jewelry. Ankle bracelets, toe rings, bracelets, earrings, and so much more. Have a safe, fun summer in 2025 from Pamela's in beautiful downtown Spring Green.
Looking for the perfect Friday night fish dinner? The Phoenix Center in Richland Center has you covered. Every Friday starting at 4 p.m., they serve up delicious deep fried or baked fish. Dine in or take it to go. Open Monday through Saturday starting at 11 a.m. and closed on Sundays. The Phoenix Center is still the local favorite for food, fun, and family time. From mouth-watering pizza to a night of bowling, it's the go-to destination for good times and great meals. To order, call 649-7469.
Thanks to the Schultz Mortgage Team for sponsoring WRCO Hometown Weather Watch. Call 608-738-8765 to learn how you can buy a home with less than 20% down.
A high of 93 today with heat indexes that could be in that upper 90 to 105 degree range. 70 for tonight with muggy conditions, showers likely late. And then tomorrow, 86. It'll be a bit cooler by Wednesday, 78. Right now, northwest winds are at 2. We did pick up 1/100th of an inch of rain in the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service rain gauge early this morning. And we're at 79 degrees.
As business owners, our community is more than just a location, it is home. At Julie Karen State Farm, we're proud to serve and grow alongside the people who make this place so special, supporting local dreams, building authentic connections, and thriving together. Supporting our community, and in return, our community believing in us, is an investment in one another. Having insurance is not the same as having State Farm. We provide more than just coverage, we provide confidence. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Unexpected cold showers are the worst. That's the thing about water heaters. They eventually stop heating or they can't keep up with the demand. So when your shower suddenly goes from hot to not, call Jelinek Plumbing and Heating. We provide several brand options and offer traditional or space-saving tankless water heaters. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, offering 24/7 service, reasonable rates, and we guarantee the job will be done right. Jelinek Plumbing and Heating, 649-7916.
The Morning Show on WRCO FM 100.9 and WRCO.com, featuring real community conversations that matter to our community. The WRCO Morning Show studio is proudly sponsored by Richland Hospital, caring for the health of our community. Scott Industries, enjoy building strong futures. Osborne Stump Removal, clearing the way for what's next. And Sean's Auto Repair, keeping you on the road with service you can trust. On our morning show today from WRCO, one of the four ambassadors for this year's Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination is in the studio with me, Tony McCarville. It is so good to see you.
Thank you, Phil. It's actually just a complete privilege and honor to be here, really. As you know, being dubbed a cancer survivor is definitely a gift, so thank you.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself, first of all. You're not from these parts, are you?
No. I grew up in a small rural town, Scranton, North Dakota, but have lived several different places in between here and there. But Scranton, North Dakota, Richland Center feels a lot like home for many different reasons, a little bit of a farming community, although farming and dairy are a little different. Farming, we were grain farmers here, dairy. Our town was about 300, so this is five times the size of where I grew up. But yeah, so we've been here, my husband and I, about 13 or 14 years now.
And you really, you've made it your home.
It is our home.
Your children grew up here, went through the school system.
It is our home. And, you know, we're just really fortunate to be able to call it home and to feel welcomed here. I mean, Richland Center is definitely, we feel embraced by the community, and we did like the very first time that we were here. And I've always said, like, there's some sort of magic in these hills. It's just a really, really, really beautiful place to be.
So tell us a little bit about your cancer journey. When did that begin?
Yeah, so my cancer journey began in February of 2019, and at that time my husband was working at the hospital in the anesthesia department, and my boys, Brooks, was at the Air Force Academy into his second year of the Air Force Academy, and Mitchell was starting his sophomore year. Mm-hmm. So 2019 of February, and prior to that time, life was, you know, super busy. We're all moms, and we're all in denial. You know, we all have fatigue and all these different things that it's easy to not think about. You know, we're just tired because life is busy. So there were signs that I wasn't necessarily acknowledging, but my husband, of course, was saying, you know, maybe you should get in and get checked. So he actually made an appointment for me to have a colonoscopy. And so I went in, had the colonoscopy. 2 days later, we were scheduled to be on a vacation with some good friends, Craig and Jean Kinney, going to Cabo to celebrate their birthdays. And so we told the doc who is doing that, Dr. Chisnicka, doing the colonoscopy, that we have vacation in a couple days. He said, no problem. So I had the colonoscopy. He said, you know, doesn't really look good. There's some signs that there might be some sign of cancer, but nothing was diagnosed for sure. So at that point, we went on vacation knowing this, and I told him he could definitely call. It's not going to change vacation. And in some ways, it's maybe easier to receive that news when you're not at home and where you're someplace where you can digest the information when you actually get the confirmation. So February 27th, we took off on our vacation, and I watched a lot of whales. And I'll come back to that after a little bit, you know, literally sitting by the ocean watching the whales. But anyway, so Dr. Chisnicka did call, and my initial reaction, I had a little bit of time to digest that information, given the fact that, you know, I was told a couple days earlier that it looked like it could be a cancer. And my background actually is anesthesia as well. I used to be a nurse anesthetist and have had a couple careers in between there now. Could go back to that, but have changed directions. But so anyway, when he called with that, my husband and, you know, other people around me, they were there and supportive and said, you're going to fight this. You've got this. And I said, you know, honestly, I said, I know I hear that all the time, people fighting cancer. And I totally appreciate that and have a really clear understanding of that now. But those weren't my words at the time. And I said, ironically, I'm going to walk this with grace, you know, and here I am as a grace ambassador. But those were my words. I'm going to just do this in faith and with grace. So I did. I put my head down and acknowledged that attitude was everything and is everything. So a note to anybody who's listening, mind your mind and know that attitude is everything. And the journey is very challenging and grueling, and everybody's journey is different and our supports are different. But that was a little bit of like where that journey began. So
it kind of ruined your vacation though a little bit, didn't it?
It didn't.
It didn't.
No, no. For some reason I was able to just really lean in and, you know, think of our friends and celebrating their birthdays. And it was almost like, you know, just, I can't even explain, like a light, almost like a gift. Which is, you know, maybe not the norm. And I know I'm an anomaly. So, but it was almost like this gift of waking up. And I just had this sense at that moment that, and I told my husband at that time, I said, he was concerned, of course, and worried and fearful. And I said, I don't think it's my time. I said, I think there's something in me and I have to wake up to that. And this is just that awakening. And so that was the start of a lot of things awakening. And at the end, remind me, because I talk a lot. So remind me to come back to the whale at the end, because I'll share something with everybody at the end. But
we will do that.
Yeah.
Did you catch it early then?
It was a stage 3B. So it was in lymph nodes, but it was not into like far away. It was all surgically resectable. So I was fortunate that it hadn't metastasized into lungs or liver or other places that it could have metastasized, or brain, you know. So I was fortunate. It was a colorectal cancer. So there are a couple people out there that local that we would share camaraderie and boobs and butts. She'll know who I'm talking about. So can I say that on the radio?
Well, you just did.
Okay, yeah. So it could have been worse, but I'm going to leave it at the PG version.
Sure.
So anyway, the support is great. But yeah, so it was colorectal cancer, and I was in my 40s at the time, and, you know, living a fairly healthy life and active, and so people were surprised. But I think that's okay. You know, it happens to everybody, and there's a reason for this. Mm-hmm. So, and I trust in that.
Well, they've backed up as far as the colorectal screening. You know, it used to be older than it is now. It's gotten to be a younger thing, hasn't
Absolutely.
It?
Yeah. And you'll see people in their 20s and 30s even with it, male, female, doesn't matter. So there's a lot of research looking into, you know, potential causes of, you know, we may never know. And you know, we'll just continue to do the research. And things like Grace, you know, it's a great thing that we have something like this to be able to continue to do the research and support. And I do know, I can't say 100% certain, but my gut tells me, and I know, I think a lot of people know that there is a cure for cancer. It's there. It's out there. And it's just a matter of time. Could be in the next year, but it's there.
I hope we live to see it.
Yes, I do too.
In our lifetime.
Yeah, I do too.
So then you had surgery then. How long did this last, you know, before you were kind of back on your feet?
Yeah, so 2019 was completely the full year of treatments. So not only did we have that vacation, but we had another vacation with spring break planned with Mitchell and a bunch of friends. We rented an expedition and we traveled to Hollywood, California, across, and picked up Brooks in Colorado and brought another friend. So literally there were 6, 7, 8, however many you can fit in an expedition with our luggage. And, you know, we had a little bit of a break before I actually started my therapies. I met with the surgeon and the radiation oncologist, met with the team before I left. And then basically it was about every 2 weeks I would have chemotherapy. And it was a FOLFOX therapy, so anybody listening might be familiar with FOLFOX chemo regimen. So every 2 weeks I was doing chemo, and then I would wear almost like a fanny pack And I still often wear a fanny pack, but this one actually had chemo drugs in it. And so the infusion would run for 48 hours. The Richland Hospital was a blessing, you know, to help just, you know, discontinue the infusions. And as a nurse and nurse anesthetist, I could have done those things myself, but it's so nice to be able to have the resources here to be able to lean in and not have to think about everything. So I had about 12 radiation treatments. And then I also had about a month straight of radiation therapy. So, and that was an interesting journey. That radiation started the end of August, and I finished that the end of September. Chemo was pretty much April until about August. I had a little bit of a break before, like two weeks break before the radiation started. But radiation initially is like, you don't feel like anything's happening. And then throughout it, it starts wearing on you. You start feeling really sick and lots of different side effects. And so I just had a lot of fun with that. And so at the last 10 radiation therapy appointments that I had, I did the David Letterman countdown. And so I literally took like a gift to the radiation therapy department, something I would make, something silly, you know, something goofy. I wasn't spending a bunch of money, but just something to take the shift off of thinking about myself, but shifting the focus onto others. And that was a really big blessing. And then the whales came into play during radiation therapy too, because when you're in that machine, you're hearing all the noises, you know, despite they'll put on your earphones and all kinds of things. So I used a lot of almost like a meditation, allowing my mind to go someplace else to think. But I would also, I would envision the whales and I would see them. And it was really kind of a beautiful thing to be able to find that peace in such a storm in life. And it was time for prayer, where I could pray about other people, for other people. So, you know, just really using your attitude and your mind to shift that focus off yourself and thinking about others will take you, you know, take you to a place where you can find peace within all of that.
Well, you mentioned having the right mindset, thinking positive, and, you know, for anybody that's had any kind of disease or whatever, there's a lot to be said for that, isn't there?
Yeah, yep. And you can attest to the fact that I went through 2019 on my phone and computer to look through, you know, notes that I had saved, and I have just now surrounded myself on a desk where we're interviewing with all kinds of things that I was surrounding myself by, but attitude literally is probably the key. And there are actually books out there that people, and some people will say this is just garbage or something, but there are books where people, there's one book called Cured, for example, and it talks about people literally making radical changes in their life and their thoughts and their environment, that they've cured themselves from a disease, because these are cells, and these cells, when we shift and we change our environment or our mindset, like everything in our body can respond to that. And so it's more than just everything. I mean, it's a belief deep within and, you know, connected to something higher than ourselves. So
speaking of books, Tony, you're even mentioned in a book, aren't you?
I am. So my friend Ann Gustafson, she's an Iowa native but lives in Florida. She, ironically, a year after I was, you know, considered free of cancer or no active disease, she wrote a book called Seeds Sown, and basically it's a walk of faith with the intention of restoration. And so she had just written a little chapter, and, you know, to all of you, it's not about me being in a book, but this is like the difference that you make in other people's lives. You have no idea. I don't see Anne on a daily basis or anything like that. But she literally had reached out in her storm, asking questions. And through that, she basically called me her wingman through her storm. So it's little things that you do. And all I did was share my journey with her. Mm-hmm. And it just gave her faith and hope. And out of the blue, ironically, today, she had reached out just saying that she had an appointment that she had missed and completely forgot about it. And I said, Anne, that's the privilege of being able to be at this point in your journey, that there is hope that at some point you may even forget part of your journey, even though she wrote a book. And I encourage you to get the book if you're dealing with cancer and know somebody that has cancer. Not that this is a promo, but I'm promoting her. She doesn't even know it. But Seed Sown is the name of the book. And like I said, it's a faith-filled book. But just, it's amazing the things that happen on your cancer journey. And when you do have cancer, sometimes the things that you'll pick up are the smallest things are the biggest blessings in life, whether it's somebody smiling or little things, because you're so tuned in to things around you, if you're open to it, mm-hmm. into the blessings of being alive.
You almost look like you're treating it like it was a gift in some ways.
Yeah, so I do say that sometimes, that, you know, it's not the gift I would ever ask for again or wish upon anybody, but I know that other people would agree with me that there are some gifts that maybe we wouldn't have seen if we wouldn't have had this opportunity to be on this path. I think that maybe if I'd have been awake more, I'm just kidding. I'm not even going to say that, but there are so many gifts. I mean, friendships become, you know, so much more clear, and just tapping into your purpose becomes clearer if you allow it to be. And, you know, you worry less about some of the things that maybe worried you before. They don't, the little things don't matter, you know, so you maybe become a little bit more bold. And so yeah, I guess, you know, in lots of ways, you know, there is a big, huge gift. Sometimes I think it is harder for the survivors, because I know for my family, they had a lot of concern and wanted to support in so many ways, and they were an amazing support, and I can't imagine having done this without them. But I think sometimes for survivors, it's harder because they're not in that body to understand where that person with cancer is, to know that, you know, what's going on, to be able to relate. And it's hard when you have cancer to relay that information to, because honestly, chemo and radiation, like, you are completely wiped out. You're a bit numb to things around you, as well as your fingers and toes, but mm-hmm. part of chemo.
I can relate to that, though, having, you know, my wife having gone through a cancer journey. I think it is harder for the spouse and the family members, because you just want to do everything you can for them, and you feel really helpless sometimes.
Yes, yes, and it's so hard, you know, to show that appreciation sometimes, too, but... Mm-hmm. You know, it's, you play a huge role, and know that you are enough by just being there. I think that that's the key with that, that there isn't necessarily anything special you have to do. Just being there for them is phenomenal.
Well, obviously, you're a faith person. Your faith grew stronger, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Yeah, I pray every day. And I lean into faith. And during this time, I, you know, definitely was very tuned into my faith. And even there was a song by Lauren Daigle, You Say, that, you know, it just struck a chord with me, just remembering that, you know, when I am weak, you know, he sees that I'm strong. And, you know, just knowing that, you know, we're all vulnerable on this planet, and just tapping into that, that God or that greater power, whoever that is for the listeners here, for you, there is something bigger than us. And, you know, when you really tap into that and believe in that, it doesn't matter where you're at in your journey of faith. I think that having that to lean on will carry you a long ways, forever.
So how long, as an ambassador, and all the Grace survivors will fill out a butterfly, the Night of Grace, for the number of days, months, years that cancer has been in the rearview mirror. What's your number going to be?
Yeah, so I celebrated 5 years as of February of this past year, you know, from being diagnosed. So that's kind of when you literally are kind of given your wings to not have to have so many frequent checkups and appointments and things like that. So, so celebrating 5 years of being able to say that I'm a survivor.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
You brought some materials and things like that and reminders. Is there anything that you'd like to allude to?
Yeah. So, I'll go back to the whale for just a second, and then, you know, maybe there would be a couple other things that I would just go over, because I know we don't have, you know, maybe I'll host some classes someday or something.
Yeah, sure.
But the whale, so I had picked up this card for Craig and Jean, actually, and I had also been gifted a whale, but I didn't understand the significance of it at the time by somebody else, but I saw that I read what the whale signifies, so I'll just read this for all the listeners, because I did feel sometimes like right before I was preparing to do the next chemo, I had just barely surfaced to be able to feel alive for a second before the next chemo begins. So it's like you're standing on a diving board and you jump in and you're at the bottom of the sea, and then you find your way back and you're getting that energy, you're getting back onto the ladder to take that dive again. So this whale and the sea have that correlation, and it's the whale is a protector. So it says, it's easy to see why whale can be your protection and solace under the sea. In the depths below, where very few go, there's a space for you to come to know. Rest your soul here in the mystic abyss. Only what serves you down here can exist. Take refuge with whale as needed each day, then come up for air, rested and ready to play. And so I would say that the whale maybe signified my cancer journey, as well as the blessings of many, many, many friends and family and faith. I remember writing in that card, I have learned cancer does not rob the spirit of faith, family, friends, or courage. It only brings more love, faith, life, and gratitude. And so those were kind of the significance of that. And then I won't read all these because I have a lot. But the one thing, you know, initially was fear is imagining the worst. Faith is imagining a higher purpose. And I think that that was something of significance that I didn't have in front of me at the time, but that was the feeling that I had, that there was something greater. And so I didn't have the fear when I heard the word cancer, which I hope other people can feel that way, because I know that that's not the case. And I'm giving virtual hugs to everybody out there that's on this path, because it's not easy. And I do know that. And I feel very blessed to have had, you know, the outlook that I did, and I would love to be able to share that with other people. You can't skip chapters. It's not how life works. You have to read every line. I'm reading this to people right now. Meet every character. You won't enjoy all of it. Some chapters will make you cry for weeks. You'll read things you don't want to read. You'll have moments when you don't want the pages to end, but you have to keep going. Stories keep the world revolving. Live yours and don't miss out. So I won't read a whole bunch more, because there's many more.
But my goodness, yeah. That's well. I'm just, whoever wrote that, it's well done. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Living in Richland Center too, and you've lived a lot of other places, but you know, it's really, I can't imagine going through this kind of journey living in a big city, for instance, because a lot of times you don't know your next door neighbor. You don't know a lot of people. I think we're fortunate we live where we live, aren't we?
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. I would think, you know, you think about the big cities and you're surrounded by so many people, but there's so much isolation because, you know, and some people like that. But here, you know, we are blessed to be able to, like, I would have people dropping gifts off, you know, frequently, and cards, and I didn't necessarily go public with the news that I had cancer, only because, I don't know, I was always taught, you know, you don't have to let others carry your burden to a fault. You know, I probably should have shared, because I think some people felt offended, but there was no intent to offend other than the fact that, you know, I just didn't want other people to carry that burden. But being surrounded by incredible neighbors and incredible people in this community, and at the Air Force Academy, they even wrote, like, the support group through Wisconsin, the Wisconsin Air Force Academy parents, they sent a really nice check, just knowing that we would have many, many trips for medical care and things like, I mean, people that you don't even know are doing things, and it's unbelievable. But locally, it's just phenomenal. The support, the church, and the hospital, and so many people. We are blessed.
Mm-hmm. We are. I know you and your husband, Brian, love to get back to the community as well. You got a new venture going. Did you want to mention that briefly?
Yeah. So, Wild Honey Juicery and Cafe. So we'll just spill the juice now.
The morning show exclusive.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that'll be another feature. But, you know, that probably stemmed a bit from, I've always been passionate about health and wellness. It's been important to me. So, you know, having this little bit of cancer was just that, I guess, message to play this out and don't be afraid to start something that can serve others. So, because we've lived here and we feel a really big amount of gratitude for this community that's given us so much, this is an opportunity to be able to do something in a healthy format, to be able to give back to the community, and hopefully it's well embraced. But it'll be like juices and smoothies and acai bowls and grab-and-go salads and soups and broths and, you know, all kinds of good things that hopefully we can source from local farmers and really bring community together. And we'll also have some educational things. We'll have some audio there where we can have events and things like that, some green space where we can eventually do some events and possibly down the road some meal prepping for people and some Sunday brunches. And, you know, so we have to start small and we have to work our way, but that's the sneak peek exclusive of what Wild Honey Juicery and Cafe will be.
You've been swinging a hammer and everything, haven't you?
I have been dirty. I've been a dirty girl for the last year and a half. So, and I owe a lot of kudos to the previous owners who put in a lot of hard work into that building to then make it possible to be able to transition to somebody else who, yes, we've ended up having to take out the work that they did, but it wasn't because they didn't do a good job. They did a great job. It's just underneath there were some bones that needed to be taken care of that would have caused problems for the future. So
the old Gables building is going to be preserved.
Yes.
I think that's exciting.
Yeah, and watch out for social media. If I can get my act together, I'd really love for people to put stories together of, you know, their experiences in Gables, Pearlfield, anything from the time the building, 1930s, to date, because there aren't, the walls are framed, but we haven't enclosed the walls, and I would love to let the walls speak. So if you have stories that you want to share or put in there, I would love for stories to fill our walls, or even if it's just some good vibes or well wishes or just some thoughts. So I would love it.
Well, thanks for being a Grace ambassador. Did you have to think long and hard about it when you got the call?
So, you know, I didn't, you know, I selfishly, you know, I did for a second because I'm like, gosh, I'm not very good at speaking. And yeah, I can talk a lot, but I'm not like, I have so many thoughts going through my head all the time. So trying to organize what I have as a self-diagnosed ADD, ADHD brain, squirrels everywhere. There was that thought, but then I thought, this isn't for me, about me, this is for somebody else. So I hope that by being a Grace ambassador can be a little spark of hope for somebody to know that, you know, being diagnosed with cancer doesn't necessarily mean this is the end of your story. It could just be the beginning.
And certainly if somebody's out there kind of hedging about whether they should get screened, colonoscopies and things like that, hopefully they take your advice.
Yes, right? Do it. You know, if you have any inkling that something's not right, don't waste time. Just get it done right away and get in and be screened and see your doctor.
Well, you've been a wonderful guest. Anything you want to add today, Tony?
Oh, just live your life, be healthy, and, you know, just, you know, seek that peace and gratitude, and life's too short to sweat the small stuff. I guess those are kind of the big things. Put a pace in place to stay with the race. I think sometimes we're in such a hurry in this life to just go, 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 and we think we have all these deadlines, but in the reality, do we? You know, I think we can enjoy life a little bit and take the time to enjoy each other and put our phones down and have the conversations and be present. I guess that's it.
Worry about what really matters, in other words.
Yeah, that would be the main thing.
Great. So, well, thanks for coming in and joining us today, and thanks for your story and your openness today.
Yeah, thank you, Phil, and to Grace. And, you know, I wish everybody good health and to be well. So
one of our 2025 ambassadors for this year is Grace, Tony McCarville on WRCO's Morning Show.
This is Mark Jelenic of the Pratt Funeral and Cremation Service in Richland Center in Muscadet. We stand ready to help you in planning a final farewell to your loved one that is healing and meaningful. The days following a loss are never easy, but we can all find comfort in knowing we are not alone. A funeral and visitation are a positive contribution to the grieving process, providing a formal time to reflect, love, forgive, and find comfort in our loss.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
This is Paul from Prescription Center. For over 40 years, we have been a trusted member of the health care of our community. We've always been here for everyone. From West Seminary Street, where it all started, to the hospital, and now to Sexsonville Road, we have provided honest advice, low prices, and with the help of many of our friends, a pay-it-forward account to help those that can't afford their medication. We are humbled by the trust we have earned. We have always made every effort to make pharmacy affordable to all. We accept all insurances because you deserve to have your plan honored. The only area pharmacy to take TRICARE and CHAMP VA. What better way to say thank you to those who served? We thank all for their trust. If you want this type of service, let us be your pharmacy of choice.
Family Prescription Center, where your family always comes first.
Now is the time to make sure your vehicle is tuned up for summer. Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. We'll check your coolant, do a radiator flush, or give you that tune-up you need. Or maybe it's a new set of tires or an alignment. We can do that too. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Call us now at 608-649-AUTO. That's 649-2886. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 184 East Mill Street, downtown Richland Center. People who care about your car.
Join the legacy at Scott's Industries, a proud family-owned business for 75 years. They're expanding and looking for dedicated team members. Enjoy competitive wages, benefits, and a $3 per hour night shift bonus. No experience necessary. Just bring your enthusiasm. Apply in person Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. at 810 East Nebraska Street in Muscadet. Or give them a call, 739-3171, to learn more. Scott's Industries, where opportunity meets tradition.
The next session of our morning show today from WRCO, we're going to talk about the National Wild Turkey Federation and some events going on locally as well. Joining us in studio today, we have Fuzz McCauley, and we have current president Derek Goplin joining us here. Fuzz, why is this an interesting topic for you today?
Well, the outdoors is a big deal for me, whether I've got a fishing rod in my hand or whether I'm chasing deer or whatever's going on. But I got involved with this group several years ago, mainly because I just liked these guys and gals that were involved, and they just were good people, and hunting and fishing was their thing, and I just... That's how I got involved.
You've been a hunter a lot of your life, but turkeys, I'm guessing that probably came a little bit later in life, didn't it?
Turkeys came later for everybody. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I did hunt turkeys for several years, mainly because one of my brothers and one of my sons both loved to call turkeys. And I just never, ever learned it because they did it. They loved to do it. And we would have some success, and that was great. So to... Fast forward that, I bet there was a dozen years I did not hunt turkeys, and Jerry Lynch told me just this year, who's one of our committee members, Jerry goes, Fuzz, if you're going to be on the National Wild Turkey Federation Committee, you got to hunt turkeys. So I went out with Jerry this year, and we got a turkey. So it's just a blast. It's fun to do, but yet these people on the committee are just fun to be with.
As far as sporting-wise, is it one of the more difficult animals to hunt?
Well, they have their characteristics that other wildlife don't have. So, for example, like their eyesight is like superb, you know, and so their sight is their big deal. Of course, you hunt them during their breeding season, like almost all other wildlife. That's the only chance you really have at being successful. But yeah, they're very keen, and some of these people hunt them for several seasons a year, which you can do legally. And a lot of the people that we have now, the circle has been big enough that these are people that have gone out with our committee members as kids, hunted, and now come back and are active in our organization. So people like John Clare, who have been here for a long time as an active member and president of our organization, you know, those are the real foundation to what goes on with us.
Derek Goplin is here as well. Congratulations, I guess, on being named president.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah. Are you one of those that Fuzz talked about, that you were a young guy and kind of getting introduced to the sport and then eventually giving back?
Yeah, and I started hunting around high school, you know, and growing up, obviously, with my dad. I was always taken out turkey hunting with some others and always had really good success when I was younger. Success rates are about 30%. From what I know, at least, and it was always successful, so it makes it a lot easier when you can get a bird in close and be able to enjoy that.
You're in today to talk about some upcoming events, including one just coming up this Saturday, Derek.
Yep. So this Saturday we have a kind of a joint event. It's called Jake's Day. It's hosted with our local chapter of the Turkey Federation, along with the archery club in town. We've been doing that every year. It's usually pretty successful. So we're just spreading the word, trying to get some more kids up there. It's this Saturday, the 2nd. It's from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. We have a free lunch. We have a lot of archery events. We've shot BB guns in the past, some like mock shed hunting stuff. And it's usually a good time. We have a lot of items we give away as well. Usually we have a sponsor from Cabela's, and he comes up and gives a talk, and he's given away fishing poles before, some low-poundage reed curve bows. We'll have a couple of those this year, and it's usually a good time.
It's not just about turkeys, then?
No, it's kind of a joint event between the two organizations, but it's really more about just getting kids in the outdoors and introducing them to all sorts of different things.
Sounds like just the bottom line is fun, Derek.
Yes, yeah, it's usually a good time.
In terms of the youth, then, do they have to have anything, hunter safety or anything? Is anything like required? Or
they don't need anything to participate in this, no. So there's no hunting that's going on. This is just an outdoor rec activity, to say, and come up for 4 hours and have a good time and get a free lunch out of it.
They have some bows that they can actually pull back and everything?
Yep. For sure.
Yeah. So you guys meet regularly. Can you talk a little bit about the club and how often you get together and everything?
Yeah, so we get together probably monthly, I'd say, sometimes bi-monthly. We have our own activities to kind of get people together. We've been meeting a lot more recently because of our banquet that's coming up. That's on the 15th of August. That'll be at the Phoenix Center. So we've been pushing flyers for that. We have some stuff online. That's our big fundraiser to help locally with money, as well as raise money nationally as well. It helps with, you know, habitat rehabilitation and some other stuff. So it's an important thing to do, at least in the committee's eyes.
Yeah, Fuzz, it's all about giving back in that case, isn't it?
Right. And I think, like Derek, for example, you know, most of us start this stuff when we're younger, like high school or even younger. And so eventually, after you get to be a little more mature, like some of us are, you're like, oh, I just want to give other people a chance to do the same thing that I got to do. It's not maybe so much what your success rate is anymore. It's, hey, can I put a smile on somebody else's face? And so that's why, like, you know, we have hunts and things that our committee puts, you know, they'll take young people, as they have for years, out and actually do a turkey hunt during the turkey seasons. And so it is. It's that give back kind of thing. And as Derek said, some of this is archery. Some of this is look for sheds, which we do some games with that, some fish casting. That kind of stuff. And so just give people the opportunity you had.
Tell us a little bit more about the Banquet Fuzz.
Okay. Well, the banquet is, as Derek mentioned, it is the 15th of August. That's a Friday night. So it's a Friday night at the Phoenix Center. I'm sure if you want to get some flyers, go online kind of thing, Derek or I probably could get, or committee members have these flyers. But it's an evening kind of thing, so you get like doors open like at 5. It's a full meal, banquet type of meal. Then there's walk-arounds, chances, raffles, chances to win outdoor equipment, some guns. A new thing in the last couple of years has been bingo. So we play some games of bingo, to which, like, if you're the winner, you can either win like a gun type of thing, or you could just get cash. So those are kind of our focus as far as the events go. And of course, we share what we do locally at the banquet, and then we have a representative that's there that represents the national, and he will talk about a little bit about National's organization. He'll have some hunts there that you can buy on a silent auction. So if you want to go to South America and do a hunt, I mean, they'll have those. They'll have hunts like in the Dakotas and stuff like that. So I guess if you come with the idea that you might want to do a hunt that's way outside of our area, but a unique hunt, those possibilities are there, and as well as the local people, you know, talking about their turkey hunts and the chance to maybe win some prizes and some bingo prizes. So
some of the money stays local for your local chapter then?
Right. And that's always a focus that, you know, we keep stuff so we can do local activities. Now, some of the money that goes to the national, you apply and funnel it back for this Jake's Day, for example. So if we do a Jake's Day promoting the Turkey Federation, then they help fund some of those kind of events. So yeah, it's kind of, that's how a lot of these organizations work. You also get a membership, you know, with the National Wild Turkey Federation, and you know, a lot of their focus is on like buying or renting or leasing land, public land, because, or private land that is now public, because let's face it, many of us want to do outdoor sports, but we can't get a chance to do it. We don't have the acreage or the land. So in a lot of cases, that's where some of this money goes, to allow for more hunting opportunities.
Yeah, that's awesome. And we've talked about that during the gun deer season and everything mm-hmm. else. Yeah. You know, I mean, a lot of land is posted, but it's important to get those relationships going with some of the landowners, isn't it?
Exactly. And this banquet's a big deal with that, too. When landowners come quite often, you get to rub shoulders with them. And, you know, I think kind of back to, we were talking about the actual hunt, landowners usually are not as protective with the turkey population as maybe they are with the deer population,
sure,
kind of thing. So it's much easier to get a good relationship in and be able to turkey hunt on someone. When it comes back to the actual hunt, I think I've only witnessed maybe one other thing that is more thrilling than to have a tom gobble, and that would be like an elk bugle.
Oh,
you know, it is like unbelievable. It's like you might not even know that turkey is in your area, that tom, and you're, you know, you got somebody calling, and of course you're all snuck and tucked in and things, and then all of a sudden that gobble, and it's like and that's exactly what an elk bugle is. You can be out hunting elk in that early season, and it's like when they bugle, it's like, ooh, sells just, you know, chills down your spine.
Do you concur with that, Derek?
I do, yep.
Yeah, certainly exciting. You said 30% success ratio when you're hunting turkey?
That's what I've been told.
Yeah. So for deer, it would be obviously a little bit higher than that.
Yep.
So a little bit more excitement, a little bit more rare when you get that bird, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different techniques. You know, you can move around a lot. You can chase them, and as long as you got the property to do so, whereas most whitetail hunting here is in tree stands, and We don't do a ton of spot and stock stuff here like you would do out west in the open. So it's definitely different. It's different time of year. I like moving around too, so it's nice.
When are the seasons held in the state of Wisconsin?
They usually start in April, so about the second week of April, third week of April, depending on the year.
Are licenses hard to come by?
Nope. So you have to apply for it. There's a application process that ends in the middle of December. You can put in for like first or second season. Those are usually the more gone after seasons. That sometimes the people say they're better, sometimes they're not. But there's six different seasons, so there's plenty of tags to get. And you get early April stuff from being cold sometimes and snow to 80 degrees in the end of May. So.
Yes, you do. What are the numbers like? Have you heard anything recently for turkey numbers in the county and in southwest Wisconsin?
That I don't know off the top of my head. John would have been a great guy to have to say those numbers. So,
yeah. And kind of speaking of John, John has been our chapter president for a lot of years. And not only did he, you know, was he a big involvement here in all kinds of conservation, but he was also the person that started the charter in Waniwok chapter. So when John, you're around John and you're in another group of people of turkey hunters in other areas or at a conference or convention, John's been around the block, and he is just really a wealth of education on turkeys, and we have several in our group that are very experienced, and that's why we really encourage things like this Jake's and Jenny's Day, you know, for these kids to come up, and they get a chance to be with people that know what they're doing, and that's not me, but they get some of the best instruction, and I want to encourage parents. You know, and in most cases, they bring their children up and they stay, and that's great because most of these parents have an interest too in the hunting world, and they get a chance to pick brains with some of these other people that are very, very experienced. So I think it's a great thing for adults and for youngsters.
For a lot of youngsters, that's where the love of hunting first started, was seeing mom or dad do it, right?
Exactly. And you can, with turkeys, you can go out, which you can with a lot of wildlife now, but turkeys much easier to get out there with mom or dad and experience a hunt. These are, you know, the weather is, as Derek said, you know, the weather can be touchy, doesn't matter what wildlife you're chasing. But quite often, you can get a day during that week that it really works out smooth for kids to be out there and be on that hunt with their parents.
Likewise, somebody that maybe doesn't have a person that can bring them out there or whatever, you have lots of opportunities for youth hunts and for mentorship too, don't
right.
you?
Right, yep. And the hunter safety thing, you know, that's been a lot of the people in our committee, which we have like about 12, 14 people on our committee, very active. We really like that. They've done the hunter safety instruction with other people in the community, but they've been very involved with that. So it's not like this is not a banquet for let's just raise some money and one day you're never going to hear from us again kind of thing. You come to this banquet, help us raise some funds, and it's going to get used right here. And I think that was another thing that really kind of caught me when they asked me was, yeah, it's something that it's going to get used right here. That was a big deal to me.
No doubt. So you'd encourage a lot of folks to come out on Saturday, Derek, as you look at the Jake's and Jenny 17 and Under event. And it sounds like it's just going to be about fun, isn't it?
Yeah, and Fuzz brought up the weather. So if you're not doing anything Saturday, it's supposed to be 81 degrees and sunny.
Perfect.
Low of 55, so it should be a wonderful morning. It's not going to be too hot. And, yeah, if you don't have anything else going on outside, we're glad to have you, and it will be a good time.
Maybe, Derek, it'd be a good idea to just share where the archery range is.
So the physical address of the archery club is 25561 Moore's Path Lane. It's Richland Center. That's up behind Goodwill. So take, if you're headed out of town, take a left, go back behind Goodwill. You take that about a mile to the stop sign, you take a left, and then you go up the gravel hill.
Follow the arrows, in fact.
Yeah, follow the arrows to the archery. There should be archery club signs up, so.
That's perfect. What about sponsors? Do you have sponsors for this weekend's event?
The sponsors will just be our local chapter, Scenic Hills, the Ridge and Valley, that's the Elk Foundation. Mm-hmm. Strang Plumbing Heating always helps out with the events, the Cabela's as well, and then, of course, Archery Club's hosting the event. So
awesome. I'd like to have you guys back, and we could have like a turkey call competition, you know, and have the listeners vote on who has the best one, right?
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun. You could hook us on that one.
Or we could see if we get any turkeys coming down. Calling them in.
Maybe we'll do that, and I'll pick one to come out hunting with me, because that's not me. So
okay.
And that's what's all really kind of fun, and it like leads up to our banquet. Again, on a Friday night, we like the idea that we do it on a Friday night instead of a Saturday. Everybody's like busy all the time, but Saturdays are really busy. We have found that a Friday night at the Phoenix Center really works well for us.
That's August 15th, coming up real soon, certainly. And I know nationally, too, and locally, you do some membership things and also some scholarship things for us,
yes,
don't you?
Right. You bet we do. And again, that's that local thing that I think is unique about our NWTF Scenic Hills chapter.
Wonderful. Thanks for coming in today, gentlemen.
Yeah, thank you, Phil. Thanks.
Good luck with your event.
Thank you.
Yeah, again, that's coming up this weekend, the Jakes and Jenny 17 and Under Youth Outdoor Event. That's happening this weekend, and the banquet on Friday, August 15th. Thanks to Fuzz McCauley and current president Derek Goplin of the Wild Turkey Federation.
Got stumps? Call Titus Osborne today for a free estimate. With over 15 years of professional stump grinding and removal experience, Titus is insured and ready to handle your project. Don't let those stumps linger. Get the removal scheduled. Customer satisfaction is a must, and Titus is committed to providing fast, reliable, no-hassle service. Call 608-604-7757 now for all your stump removal needs. 604-7757. Titus Osborne, your go-to expert for stump removal.
Are you looking for a meaningful way to give back to your community? Passages is looking for compassionate, motivated volunteers to join our team. We provide men, women, and children survivors of domestic violence and sexual assault with free, confidential services regardless of age, sex, or gender identity. We have a variety of volunteer opportunities available, from yard cleanup, donation sorting and organizing, and fundraising support, to shelter advocacy and survivor support. There are also a couple of larger outdoor projects that would be great for teams. Do you want to share a skill? We're also launching new life skills programming and are seeking volunteers to lead classes such as yoga, sewing, crocheting, cooking, meditation, grounding exercises, and more. Whether you're interested in direct client support or behind-the-scenes help, there's a place for you at Passages. Did you know that every hour you volunteer helps Passages meet its grant match? Learn more by visiting our website at passagesrc.com and click on the I Want to Help tab. There you will find a list of opportunities and a volunteer application. Join us in making a difference, one life, one step at a time.
Thanks to our morning show guests. Coming up, our Walk with Grace radio auction. We'll kick that off a little after 10. We'll introduce you to the first items up for bid, with all the money coming back to the local Greater Richland Area Cancer Elimination. That's coming up.
Mental health matters for everyone, but for many people of color, the journey to mental wellness can be filled with challenges, from cultural stigma to lack of access and representation in care. This month, the Richland Hospital and Clinics is working to amplify those voices. Let's normalize conversations around mental health. Your primary care provider at the Richland Hospital and Clinics is a vital first step in strengthening mental health. Remember, mental health is an important part of your total health care.
At U.S. Cellular, you can get $1,000 off any phone with no trade-in. It's great for people who love saving money, like someone who likes to haggle, even at self-checkout.
$10.99.
I'll give you $7.
$10.99.
Okay, $8.
Calling for assistance.
Ha! I knew I was wearing you down.
Get $1,000 off any phone with no trade-in, and we'll pay off your current contract when you switch. U.S. Cellular, built for us. Terms apply. Visit uscellular.com for details.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Trump says he's setting a new deadline for Russia to work out a ceasefire with Ukraine or face more severe sanctions. The president telling reporters in Scotland during his trip there that the new deadline for Vladimir Putin to act will be between 10 and 12 days.
Russia could be so rich right now. Instead, they spend all their money on war. They spend everything on war and killing people, and it doesn't make sense to me. I thought he would want to end this thing quickly. I really felt it was going to end, but every time I think it's going to end, he kills people.
A trade deal reached between the EU and the U.S., 15% tariffs on European goods coming into the United States. Israel says it will halt military operations temporarily in Gaza to allow more humanitarian aid to enter the territory. A husband and wife both killed while on a hike with their two young daughters in an Arkansas state park. The girls were not hurt. The killer is still at large. This is ABC News. Shooting in Atlanta. 10 people were hurt, one killed. Police say several people had guns at the scene and were shooting. Bubba Wallace becoming the first black driver to win a major race on the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. He won the Brickyard 400. A simply fantastic opening weekend for one movie in particular.
This quartet was numero uno at the movie box office.
Please welcome the Fantastic Four.
The latest entry in the Marvel